That was the name of my proposed Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore musical.
Yeah. Continuous flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Kiss my grits.
It's time to thank you, ice cream truck drivers out there. Thank you, ice cream truck drivers. Right now, I want to thank Darth Scooper, David Walker, Dead Laszlo, Dirty Old Scoop, Dr. Scoop Litter, Little, Dr. Scoop Little,
Black the Loopitter,
and Elkin Magic Scoop. Thank you so much. Those are the folks that bring that fucking ice cream straight to your fucking ear holes in their ice cream trucks. If you want to be an ice cream truck driver, just like those.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fine, folks, head over to PreachingFun.com. PreachingFun.com is where you can go to sign up to be an ice cream truck driver. And who knows, the life you save may be your own. I watched the original Roadhouse this week with Sam Elliott.
Oh, Roadhouse. Fucking how?
Young Sam Elliott, who at one point opens his pants to show a scar on his pelvis and also shows his giant pube bush.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny.
The fact where men were men.
Do you want to go to an ice cream social?
And that giant bushes of pubes.
Yeah, I'd love
trimming
to.
Trimming was for ladies.
Great, let's go.
Manscaping.
Do you think that was legit or was that Merkin?
Merkin.
Ah, it's Sam Elliott, sir. How dare you suggest?
Oh, no, I just
think Hollywood. The American treasure, Sam Elliott.
No, well, it was made in American.
It's time for Men Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting over there, the perfect American, Paul Mattingly.
Over there, combing his pubes, that's Matt Donnelly.
The model American, Jacob the audio guy. We're preaching fun.
Oh, boy.
You guys doing good over there?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The original Roadhouse has more nudity in it than I recalled.
Oh, I need to watch it again then.
There's yeah, like not watching it on the USA Network or whatever. And it's the 80s action movie nudity.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like,
just boobs.
You're just watching a scene and all of a sudden, like, hey, here's three naked people just walking around on stage with a sign behind them that says wet t-shirt contest. Mm-hmm. But it's three women that are dry just walking around in like a thong and high heels.
Yeah. 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 That's I think because I grew up in that era only.
Right.
I miss that kind of nudity.
Yeah. Just the no reason, you know, it's not plot forwarding. You don't know who these people are. It's just naked people.
Yeah, there's a show that people are raving about that I'm trying to get through and I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
The Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
I've heard it's not very good. I've heard it's not very good.
I think it's a weird sentence that I'm about to say. I think it's really good, and I'm missing it.
No, no.
That's what I feel like watching it.
Well, I haven't watched it, but one of the podcasts I listen to, Cheap Ass Gamer, Wombat, he's a vacuum of this kind of media, and he did give it its day in court. He made it episode and a half, two episodes, whatever.
Okay.
And he was like, I can explain to you all the plot points and the amazing amount of shit that happens in the first episode.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, nothing seems to have any consequence. Nothing's really happening.
It
like there's a bunch of shit going on, but still nothing's happening.
It took me a while to get through the first episode. So I did the first episode in several sittings. And then I did about half of the second episode on a flight to Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I haven't gotten back to it yet. It feels very much like it is in the, you know, we're setting up phase. I can't quite get through it.
I hate that so much.
I'd read
then you're going to hate Empire Strikes Back.
I doubt it.
Hey.
I doubt it.
I'd read some glowing posts about it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, and then I saw it was like trending as like a big show. And so I was like, oh, and then science fiction, blah, blah, let's get into it. I'm glad you guys have also found it hard to get through. Because I basically was like, oh, here's the science fiction. Like, oh, shit might go down. And if it does, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
And while it takes a while, the greatest scientists in the world are going to get together and either get stoned to reminisce or bitch at each other.
Yeah.
And that's like, and in the future, when faced to, when humans face reality, we just bitch at each other. And there's one actor in particular, she's gorgeous. Elsa Gonzalez is her name.
Okay.
And she plays one of the people who came up with the nanofiber technology.
Great.
And she just talks like a bad TV cop. Everything's just like fucking like, I'm set my ways. I'll win this.
Oh, the dialogue
you're going downtown.
You're going downtown. Like, the dialogue is all, really hit or miss.
She's just all fucking bad beat cop.
Yeah.
All of her.
Some of the dialogue is really good. And then there's that. And you go like, what? Did the same people who wrote that other dialogue, that last scene that was pretty good, also write this dialogue? Or what has happened here?
Like, I was like, look, I've been around some brilliant people, and they talk differently than us, but not like frat bro bitches, you know?
Right.
Not like whatever, brah.
Yeah.
I'm out of here, brah.
Did either of you guys...
Basically the entire show.
Is that how Tim talks? Is that how Tim Jenison talks?
Tim Jenison gets right into people who chase accidental stereo recordings within like a minute of talking.
Yeah. Which is
that's
awesome.
What happens when scientists get together.
Did either of you guys finish or even watch Scavenger's Reign, the animated series?
No.
I didn't finish, get started,
or hear about a show called Scavenger's Reign.
I talked about it on the show.
You did.
I've heard about it.
This is the one you started watching at my house, right?
I was finishing watching it at your house. Yeah.
Oh, that's Yeah. I remember talking about that.
Oh,
so
good. And a lot of stuff happens, and a lot of cool stuff happens. And it has closure, and it's just, wow.
Well, I know that Jacob and I are in on the show that you are out on.
Oh, yeah?
Shogun.
I love Shogun.
Goodbye.
It's so good. You're just wrong on this one,
I was
Paul.
Watching no. Shogun, and I was watching Tokyo Vice, which is a deeply flawed show. And I was trying to figure out that if I was Japanese...
You're in your Asian television show
if I was era. If I was Japanese, which show would I hate more? The portrayal of modern Japan or the portrayal of feudal Japan?
Right.
And
I feel like modern is the winner there. I feel like modern is the more hateable.
Well, I think Shogun is more futile Japan than anything. Fucking
stay
garbage.
Stay down, Shogun!
Fucking garbage! Futile Japan! Boo!
And it's also funny, like, whatever, in the era of AI, like, the theme song of both Three Body Problem and the opening animation, and the opening animation and song for Shogun, is definitely people who sat down and were like, well, I like what they did at Westworld.
That's it.
And just maybe something along those lines.
Yeah, everything's Westworld and Game of Thrones now.
Yes,
as far as
exactly.
Oh, we got to hook them with the opening credits. That'll get them.
Cool animation.
Cool animations for the opening credits.
And you know
that's
what?
A quality series.
It works.
It worked. They got me.
It worked.
I'll watch that weird boat go to that castle every time.
Yep, I love
tug,
it.
Tug.
I love the opening
tug on
for
me all the time.
The opening for Game of Thrones is great. They just hit the fucking wall with Game of Thrones. They ran out of George R. R. Martin's actual data. And they were like,
oh, man, and if you listen to interviews with George R. R. Martin, he's certainly not happy with how things go at HBO.
Those fucking tool bags, you know, you heard about those
all he had to do was finish writing the series in less than 50 years.
Well.
So, you know what, George R. R. Martin? George double R? Fuck you.
Pump the brakes. Well,
that's your fault.
Okay,
they
should,
the guys that they gave the reins over to fucking dropped
not
the ball
they,
so hard.
He.
No. They fucked it up. No, they fucked it up because they came up with this bullshit twisty turny.
No, he's not in charge.
Yeah, he was
but
not
he,
in charge.
He had,
no, he was
he
not
had,
the showrunner, dude.
No,
he didn't have
no,
like final edit.
No, I didn't say that he did.
Okay.
He was around though, and he had all that, and he had the opportunity for like 15 years prior to write the books.
No, we're pressing fast forward. Game of Thrones is over.
Yeah.
And now they want to do other things with Game of Thrones.
Yes.
They don't have to go to
oh,
George
no, no,
R. R. Martin.
No, they don't have to do shit with him now.
So George R. R. Martin was pissed because he had a pitch meeting.
Right.
And after the pitch meeting, he discovered that he was one of four or five production companies pitching a spinoff of Game of Thrones that had nothing to do with the stuff that he had written.
Yeah, it turns out if you don't finish it and then hand it to someone
but
else
you're not supposed
to finish.
Write spinoff stuff.
I don't know. I mean, like, if he had just finished it.
Jacob, I'm going to come down on the side of creators here and say, fuck all these companies. let a motherfucker take his time. Yes, he should have been a little more moving on it. But also, if I had sold my IP for multiple millions of dollars, you would not see me going back into my fucking hobbit hole for X months to just start scribing. Not my first move. Not
and
my
I
first
agree
move.
With everything you just said. I agree with every single thing you just said. But
he's out there living his fucking life.
What you just said is he sold the IP. So he sold all of that IP.
He did.
Without the IP being complete.
Yeah.
So I don't give him a whole lot of room to bitch about
it. There's blame to go around. There's blame to go around. But those motherfuckers, what they did was they almost got the new Star Wars stuff when it was coming. That's what happened. They were going to be able to do the new Star Wars movies. They were very close to getting that ball and running with it because of how successful Game of Thrones had been. And so instead of continuing to work hard on Game of Thrones, they were spending their nights and weekends spitballing ideas about what we want to do with Star Wars. And they just kind of shit canned and did whatever to get Game of Thrones done.
There's a whole lot of they.
And it was, it's the two guys. It's D.B. Weiss and his partner. I can't remember his name. But those are the two. Those are the two guys.
So that's, when you say they, you mean those two people.
Those two guys are the ones that were within a hair's breadth of being the Star Wars runners for the new series that came out.
Sure.
And they were so busy fantasizing about having control of the Star Wars universe that they fucked around and did not pay enough attention to where Game of Thrones was going. And those last seasons of Game of Thrones were so bad, they got pulled off of Star Wars because of it.
Yeah.
And that's what's, you know,
shot themselves
George R. Martin did not finish the books.
Right.
But when people took the control away from him, nothing got better.
Right.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not defending anything. I'm just saying he doesn't have a whole lot of room to complain.
He does.
Because he signed over incomplete IP, and so he doesn't get to complain that the IP didn't go in the direction he wanted it to go.
Well, do you think it's fair for him to complain to do it if he had given them a direction to go and they decided to zig where he said zag?
I think he gets to complain a little bit more.
Right, yeah. I think that's in there, man.
If
I think that's
George
kind
R.
of what
Martin,
happened.
And people aren't happy with Game of Thrones or the spinoffs, people bitch at you.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, so he's got to catch all that flack for
a
couple of jabronis.
He's going to catch all the flack for it anyway.
A couple of jabronis doing bullshit to his IP that he had no intention. Yeah, no, it's a hard lesson all around. I'm glad it's done. But those first four seasons are fucking perfect.
It's as if everyone we're talking about is just inept.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Or more to the point, Matt, just human.
Oh, guys.
Now, they're not inept.
And now we grow.
No, seriously. What's his name?
What? We're all human?
No, seriously.
Fuck you, man.
I just watched Jodorowsky's Dune. Have you guys seen that one?
Which one's Jodorowsky?
Jodorowsky's Dune is the documentary about Jodorowsky coming again very close to making the first film adaptation of the Dune novels.
Okay.
Okay. It's a brilliant piece of filmmaking, an amazing documentary, and it's incredible. And the stuff he came up with was, you know, years ahead of its time.
Oh, he's the one who got the plastic surgery that made his penis look like a sandworm.
Yes. Yes.
That's
he
him. Okay.
He
yes.
decided he was going to have Shai Halud on his wee-wee.
That's it.
No. He
Gesundheit.
Anyway, he's great, but he pitched his movie idea to all these studios, came up with this giant book with this incredible, like, he had fucking the artist Mobius and Giger and a bunch of other big, and Ben Burt, big names that went on to just do the Alien franchise and a bunch of other franchises that have been huge in Hollywood. He was so close. It was too far ahead of
time. Oh, so
this
wasn't a recent thing?
No. This was late, early 70s.
Okay.
This is before, because they already made Dune with Lynch.
Well, this is the thing. This is before the Lynch movie. So, like, he had Salvador Dali signed on to play a role. He had...
Lynch Mob was a good band.
A bunch of other people.
Yeah.
Anyway, it fell apart at the 11th hour because he couldn't get funding, and his ideas were way out there, but it would have been something special to see if it had come through. But then Lynch did do his movie, and Jodorowsky went to see it finally after much like cajoling, because he was just too upset because he had spent like almost a decade trying to get this movie made. And when he went to see the David Lynch film, he felt slowly he started to feel this schadenfreude and this joy because it failed. It did not.
Sure.
It did not work right. But he realized it wasn't Lynch. It
was the same way about the green screen improv show that came out with Drew Carey.
Right. Yeah. It was that the studios got in the way and, you know, fucked everything up. He could see where Lynch was really trying, of course, because he was knee deep in this lore and everything. But he could also, he also took a lot of comfort in the fact that another super genius didn't quite hit the mark. And then if you listen to David Lynch talk about the whole creative process, one of his big sticking points is, hey, man, a lot of my shit doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I get flack for that. But last time I checked, life doesn't make any fucking sense. Why should my art make any sense?
I mean, I have an answer to that question, but I can, if you, it sounds like it's rhetorical, so I can leave it alone.
Well, I would posit to you, watch Mulholland Drive and then come back me and see if you can still make that argument in a credible way that you feel comfortable with. You're familiar with Mulholland Drive?
I'm very familiar with Mulholland Drive.
I love that film.
And I was
makes
back
no
when I was,
fucking sense.
No, it doesn't. And when I wanted to be a, you know, this is back, you're talking me hanging out adjacent to Kevin Smith, wanting to make movies era time where I was going to see every independent film there was.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk about how brilliant Mulholland Drive was, but then we would sit around and get stoned and try to make sense of it all the time. The problem with David Lynch is that he bluffed and that he was full of shit. He
on
wouldn't
Mulholland
say
Drive?
That he's make no he, with all that stuff. He wouldn't say outwardly Twin Peaks, all that stuff. He wouldn't say that doesn't make sense on purpose. He would bait people into trying to make sense of everything he was doing,
right?
Knowing that it was driving the popularity. When in truth, he was just putting out shit that didn't make sense,
right?
Yeah.
Which then, so I don't. J.J. Abrams followed that procedure to the letter with Lost.
If we were just supposed to see awesome films that were just supposed to just be their own art pieces, I would have much more respect for that. But instead.
Agreed, and I think that's why Mulholland Drive succeeds.
He tried to have a cake and eat it too.
Right.
That's why Mulholland Drive succeeds, because there's an end point. And
well, there's a story.
Well, there's a story.
There's an actual story being told.
But just like Matt is saying, he's exactly right. Mulholland Drive was a backdoor series pilot. It was supposed to be another Twin Peaks series.
God, it all comes back to butt stuff.
But that got undercut, so he just had to make it a little more concise. And I think, again, like with a lot of great art, once the walls start closing in, once you have limitations, those limitations inspire better moves and more interesting creative moves.
Right, you want to see something crazy. I had David Lynch was my videographer for my wedding.
Get out of here.
Oh, it makes no sense.
Really?
You watch it, yeah. It's just a bunch of
I was
of
at your
images.
Wedding. I thought I was just like, wait, why are we cutting the cake right
like,
before
Sarah's
the
not
ceremony?
Even in the, yeah. Sarah's not even in the film.
They like, cut the cake know, before the ceremony. Sarah was cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was
a whale for no reason.
Right. Why was the whale there?
Yeah.
Lots of puppets.
Yeah.
A lot of puppets.
Weird. It's weird. And yet, it's the most watched wedding video on tyingtheknot.com.
Right. Look at us. Well, we're talking about it.
Well, the German subtitles were an interesting choice.
Thank you. That's actually my, I actually asked for that.
Yeah. That was the sub-German subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
it's an ancient Germanic language.
The big reveal is it's on a U-boat. At the end, you're like, oh, these were German subtitles.
Yeah. Achtung. That's why. Why I got hit with a bottle cap in the beginning of the thing is that it was an air hole.
Oh, I didn't get the bottle cap until just now. No.
Now it does kind of make sense. Special. See, he kind of knows what he's doing. He kind of knows what he's doing.
All right, I take it all back.
No, you're right. I'll tell you who else makes a lot of sense in filmmaking, and that's the following sponsor.
Our whole A-block was just fucking.
That's it.
David Lynch.
All right. Once again, our A-block was David Lynch.
Manley's Ice Cream Social is brought to you by from Jimmy Buffett Industries. It's Bruce Springsteen's blue collar cosplays for billionaire hedge fund managers. That's from Gorilla Dentist from that Bjork video. And that's an extra fuck you from me, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? It's me, the boss. I want to tell you, a lot of rich people nowadays, they need a chance to get away. what I decided to do was become a Jimmy Buffett impersonator. Yeah. So I do all my and Jimmy Buffett's hits at the same time and disguise myself in Cancun. Nobody knows who I am. Are you ready, big man? Can you hear me in heaven, big man? Let's do this. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Cheeseburger in paradise. Whoa, cheeseburger in paradise. Whoa, Santa Claus is a cheeseburger in paradise. That's just one of them, guys. That's just one of them. Here's another really great one.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning. I step on a bottle top with my flip-flop. I walk down to the beach. Hey, look at all the parrot heads who came to see me. I love you, parrot heads. Let's have another tequila shot. Oh, look at the parrot heads. There's a cheeseburger in paradise. You can't have cheeseburgers. Can't have cheeseburgers without the cheese. Let's have a cheeseburger. A cheeseburger in paradise with me. Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. And then I got this one. Here's how it goes. Here's how it goes. Wasted away again. Wasted away again in Margaritaville. Wasting away again. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Oh, yeah. You can't start a fire.
You'll love this one.
You can't start a fire without some salt. Toss some salt over your shoulder. I know that it was actually my fault. Courtney Cox, come back to me. I miss you and your inflated face.
And her Hay Scoops at checkout.
Don't let, speaking of salt, don't let Courtney Cox's face hit a bottle top.
Speaking of salt, there's something going on at Honey Salt.
Yes, that I should have talked about in the A block. But this Sunday, and it's funny because we were going to have a friend on to plug it because there were 8 tickets left. But as of this morning, there's only 1 ticket left. There's 1 ticket left. At Honey Salt, delicious restaurant in Summerlin.
April 21st.
And I'm telling you, by the time you see the show, it's going to be the biggest news coming out of Summerlin. There won't be another bigger news story than coming out of Summerlin than this. Do you know what I meant to get, Jacob?
No.
Me? Oh, God.
I know exactly where you're going. I think.
Okay, what have I missed?
Let me finish the plug, and then we'll get to the horrible story.
Oh, no.
So Honey Salt, if you've ever been, it's a delicious restaurant.
Yes.
It's one of the best restaurants around in Summerlin. It's been there forever, which says a lot, because restaurants open and fucking close in this town.
Right.
So I have eaten at Honey Salt. That's how long it's been there. You're right.
So it's a dinner and a show night. Sunday the 21st, you get a comedy show. There'll be 2 stand-up comedians and me.
Okay.
Hosted by our friend Jason Harris. He'll be coming in on a future episode. But he's hosting it, and so you can go have some food and watch 2 comedians and me perform Sunday night.
You're the straight man.
I'm the straight man.
Good.
Straight jacket man.
Yeah. Straight jacket man.
Yeah. It's funny. It's why I want to have Jason on, because he was like, I guess you go on last. He's like, tell me, I'm not headlining.
Okay.
He goes, you're going to go on last. It'd be weird to have magic go on before comedy. So that was his way of telling me I'm on last.
Okay. And not headlining.
And not headlining.
Good.
So, you're headlining by default.
Yeah.
Comedy before magic. Juggling before comedy.
Right? Maybe.
Now, I think you want juggling bookended by comedy.
Yeah.
I think you want comedy juggling, comedy, then more comedy.
Yeah. What about comedy magic juggling?
Go fuck yourself.
Oh.
That's too much.
Yeah.
If it's Godot, have Godot go on last.
That's danger it. Juggling.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on in Summerlin?
What don't
I know about in Summerlin?
Oh, there was a double homicide / suicide.
Jeez.
At a deposition at a law firm.
What?
Yeah.
I've not heard about this at all.
Okay. So there's a couple. They divorced.
I haven't heard about this either. I thought, and I'm still not convinced, this isn't news to do with OJ.
Oh. OJ, did OJ live in Summerlin?
Oh yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why OJ's dead. I got. Yeah. Got he's,
no. No. No.
Got him. What?
Stay so, down.
Stay down. The juice is loose. So this is at a deposition for a divorce.
So no, a child custody case.
Oh, so even better.
In a conference room at a law firm.
So okay, couple, husband and wife.
Yeah,
divorced.
Great.
Husband's dad, lawyer.
Okay.
Wife, divorced wife.
Uh huh.
Marries lawyer.
Oh, so they're now two related lawyers.
Yes. So involved. The deposition is
related lawyer versus related lawyer.
Is someone in all
husband's
in the room.
Dad yeah. versus wife's new yeah. husband?
Oh so, boy!
So if I'm the dad, right, my kid's ex wife now bringing her husband, her new husband,
yeah.
to record a deposition. So not the best case scenario.
That's tough.
Woman,
perhaps nerves are frayed.
Divorced wife,
uh huh.
Actually, scared and asks for security to be at the deposition.
Okay,
very unusual. Usually depositions are pretty just. You know they're awkward and comfortable, but they're yeah. not usually high stakes like sure. that.
Oh man!
Behind the scenes, the divorced guy's dad, lawyer,
okay,
finds out he is terminally ill.
Oh, jeez!
Finds out that he's got an inoperable cancer.
Okay.
Brings a gun to the deposition, shoots both the ex-wife and her new husband, and then himself.
Oh, holy my God.
Shit. And then husband, ex-husband, whatever, the wins son of yeah. the lawyer.
Gets
well, I guess he wins by default.
By default.
Yep.
Oh, so
now
shit.
The family's saying like, but wait, hey.
He was in the room, though?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, not in the room.
What? Okay. It wasn't even in the room?
It wasn't even in the room.
By plan?
It was her deposition. Just he didn't be in the room.
Right, sure.
God.
It was her deposition.
Yikes.
Wow.
So there was no security then?
No. Or if they did a terrible job.
Right.
Yeah.
No, there's no security.
Huh.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's the darkest thing I've heard in a long time.
It's fucking that,
I mean, that's
crazy.
Not really compared to what's really going on in the world, but that's still pretty dark. Here's the thing, right? The death of one is a tragedy. The death of millions, just a statistic. It's hard to wrap our heads around the kinds of things that are happening. But
the death of three, we'll talk about it on this podcast.
Right. Yeah. So, holy crap. So what, yeah. So now the wife's family is going to try and get
is upset because the whole thing was that they were fighting for custody because the child was scared to be with the dad.
Oh,
rightly nice. So, right?
And so now the family's going like, hey, this is not
is the son of this.
Well, no, the dad didn't kill anybody. The dad's dad, the grandfather is the one who
but
did that.
But still, that's indicative of
yeah. The family's saying like, we should not just award custody to the father by this awful default.
Yeah.
This was still a terrible thing, and the child
holy
still shouldn't go over.
You're right. We should get custody of this child.
That's what I'm saying, guys.
This child should be in the custody of Matt Mattingly's
ice cream
social.
Anyone can start a petition, as long as it gets a certain amount of signatures, the government has to listen to it.
I'm going to say...
Get in whitehouse.gov/petition.
I'm going to throw my penalty flag on this one and just stop it right here, because no.
Okay.
Oh,
I've got a brand new puppy
Paul
in the house.
Everyone, Paul has thrown his flag.
I've got a brand new puppy in the house, and that is more kid than I ever want. He and fucking Adora is going crazy on the puppy, so it's like just having to run all these interference modes with crazy ass Adora. We're gonna try and get a dog behavioralist in to come and chat up fix Adora a little bit, because man,
who's Pittsburgh's chief dog behavioralist?
Hello.
She is
you rang.
She is a recommended
Alan Ruffington.
She came with a pamphlet
Give
from
me
our
some
vet.
Paw.
We go to a really nice vet. The place
I guess
is,
so. You got pamphlets for behavioralists.
I mean, it's a fancy. It's better than my doctor, honestly.
Yeah,
yeah. It really.
You
is.
Know, I tell you, before I recommend that any dog gets neutered, I went and got neutered myself so that I could really experience what I was putting
There's
the dogs
nothing
through.
You can do to a dog that I haven't done to myself.
That's right.
That's my promise
go ahead,
to you.
Name something that you've done to a dog.
Trimmed his claws.
Oh yeah, I've done that. I've done that to myself. I call them fingernails, but yeah, I've done
okay,
that.
Okay, all right.
Yep. Next.
Cleaned yourself with your mouth.
I'm doing it right now.
Ooh. Oh. Who are you, Lanny fucking Poffo?
I'm very flexible.
Lanny Poffo.
I had my bottom two ribs removed just so I could do that.
Have you heard all about that? That was Lanny Poffo's parlor trick.
Yeah.
He would suck his own dick?
Yeah, he was well endowed, but also very flexible, and he would suck his own dick. Yeah.
That's I guess that's the real flex. Is like, I can suck my own dick, and I am not flexible. And everyone's like,
and
oh,
I'm
shit.
Not flexible.
Yeah.
I'm just 27 inches long.
All of my spinal column has been fused.
it meets me like a microphone on the Academy Awards.
It rises up out of the floor.
I look like Barb Barker on The Price is Right because it's extremely, extremely thin.
Basically, if I have to sweatpants it like an awkward teen, I basically look like a kid carrying his skis into the ski lodge.
When I go flaccid, I can spin it up on a fork like a piece of spaghetti.
Have you seen my spinning plates routine? It's great.
Speaking of children, I bet you guys, this might also be breaking news for you guys.
Okay.
I tuned in to Great Night's live broadcast on Twitch yesterday.
Oh, yeah? I've heard all about this,
and,
yeah.
Justin Robert Young both spilled. Looped in Brian Brushwood and his mom at the same time. And like,
yep.
A true podcaster just decided to do it on air.
That's
it. He waited 20 weeks to make the announcement, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, but he is going to have a baby.
Yes.
And I'm thinking his wife is with child.
Yes.
And is going to be born a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking Matt Paul Jacob, pretty good.
Matt
Paul, what do we think? Yeah, I'm just
are you thinking
one name,
a single hyphenated first name, or are you thinking first, middle, and last name?
I'm thinking no hyphens, no middle, just the name, first name,
just sure. One name.
Paul Matt Jacob,
that works.
I like it.
I saw the announcements on the various socials, and I chipped in my
Japalmet.
Congratulations, but yeah. I was tempted. I know Justin pretty well, but it you know
sure.
with those kinds of announcements, you walk that line. The comedy guy in me really
yes.
wanted to post congratulations. Any word on the father?
Sure. Sure.
But I didn't.
I showed
great
I
restraint.
Oh, and see, the comedy guy in me, I started to post, I didn't post, I just texted him, but I started to just text him, like, good luck raising my kid.
Right.
Oh,
well, yeah. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah,
so we all
skip
have the same
middle,
idea.
Man. Yeah, of course.
That's it.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
But I didn't. I just said congratulations.
That's,
because
that's,
we're gentlemen.
Because we're fucking gentlemen, god damn
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah, we're fucking gentlemen.
We would never make those jokes.
Yeah, you shitbags.
So congratulations to Justin.
Yeah, he was saying Scoop Fest is his last bit of freedom for a little while.
Yeah,
probably
no, he's going to go to baby name.
That's it.
Yes, as my friend wrote me, and that was one of the best things someone ever told me. You're going to baby name.
Yep.
Which is just going to be 2 years of what the fuck, and then you come out the other side.
Yeah.
And it is so true.
That sounds right.
Yeah. No,
I'm in puppy name,
oh,
which is
name.
Not nearly as vicious a situation.
Well, you have four dogs.
I do.
That's
a lot of
dynamics.
There is a lot going on. I got like 2 hours of sleep last night.
A wise man once said, we're not getting any more dogs. And then Anne said, yes, we are.
Yes, we are. And honestly, I am okay with it. They're for the most part, they're very well behaved. It's just
right,
adorable.
So guess what happened again last night?
I've also lost
track here. So yes. For our listeners here, just go through your dogs in age, order, and size. So,
okay.
So age, order,
so
caveat with the size of them.
My littlest man, Pirate, we lost last year.
Right.
And he was our smallest little Chihuahua mix. He was the smallest.
Right. Yeah.
Next biggest
but
is...
But he's not around anymore.
He's not around anymore. Lady Elizabeth, the Giz.
Still around.
She is still around. She is our 10-year-old. She is a Corgi Chihuahua mix.
Okay.
And she is the sweetest, best-behaved dog that ever lived. Like,
tiny
I loved Pirate, but he was not a well-behaved dog.
Got it.
I mean, he wasn't, like, terrible, but he was... a stinker when he wanted to be.
Right.
But he was also great. But seriously, the Giz has never given us a moment's trouble. Okay. Next in size is Adora.
So, oh, wait, how old is Lady Elizabeth?
Lady Elizabeth is 10.
Okay.
Elizabeth, 10. Yeah. Next is Adora.
Next is Adora. Adora is 18 months. So okay. She's still very young.
Oh.
And she is a Hellcat. She is an absolute demon.
She's trying to assert herself on the yard. She's trying to take control.
Yeah.
She had another bunny incident last night. She did not kill
this one.
You're
down to incident. See how much see how complicit you are?
I see incident. That.
It was a murder.
Yeah.
No, you know what?
It's a murder.
You come in my fucking yard. Your life is forfeit. I don't
stand
care
your ground.
If
that's your argument for Adora. Stand your ground.
King in the castle.
Be ye man, beast, or hare, you have done signed the deed. And that's the deal.
So you're cool with stand your ground murders.
Uh-huh. I'm
so,
cool
so,
with
it. So it's
I'm
almost
cool
as
with
if
my
we
dog
actually have in this country a place where we actually have legalized murder that doesn't upset everyone.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just talked to my friends in Texas and Arizona.
No, I'm
sorry. Go
I
ahead.
Am,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm 100% and Florida. Not cool with the stand your ground shit. It's awful.
No, but I am. I'm cool with all kinds. I'm saying there's all kinds of murder that we're A-okay with.
And I'm happy with all of it.
I mean, but she didn't kill this bunny. This bunny was fine. I mean, traumatized, but fine. I ended up having to go pick it up with a garbage can lid and carry it off and out the gate. And it was fine.
Oh.
But I had to get up because Anne had to get up at 3 this morning because she had early work. So I was basically up from 3 with her because she's like, Paul Rabbit. I'm like, oh, God. So I was up doing rabbit shit early in the morning.
Now, I heard that that you have to leave the dead rabbit out somewhere in the field so that the other rabbits can come do a proper funeral for it. Is that true? That
well,
all the rabbits will come back around.
The dead rabbit that I tossed over into our thistle bushes over across the yard, I buried with grass clippings from my first lawn mowing of the season. So,
so nobody, as official
as it gets.
Nothing came along and ate that rabbit?
No, nothing came along to eat that rabbit. And the other night, right there in that same area, was a full-sized deer that Adora scared off. I came out, poked my head out. There's a deer 18 feet away from me.
Now, the day Adora drags a deer through the doggy door, that's going to be a tough day.
Then call me.
If she had a little more size, she'd do it. She's faster than a fucking rabbit. She's so fast.
When we lived in Montana, they had a mule deer that would just like roam the neighborhood, which are just giant fucking deer.
Yeah.
And I would, and they were very okay with people. They didn't give a shit about people being around.
Yeah.
Because like, no, they're not getting shot in town, obviously, or anything like that. People would hunt them out in the woods, but not in town.
They're being challenged to play poker, though, yeah?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were good. Yeah. You learned quick. Don't challenge the mule deer.
No.
But I'd walk our little dachshund around, a ninja, back then.
Right.
And ninja would, like, charge these mule deer.
Right.
And ninja was, you know, 13 pounds.
Yeah, tiny. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this deer that he would be charging at would be 800 pounds.
Right.
And the deer would just look up, and I'd be pulling on the leash because like if that deer kicks once, the dog's dead.
Pew!
And if the deer decides that I'm a threat too, then I'm dead too.
Yeah,
yep.
Like quit yelling at the giant animal.
Yeah,
stop it.
Yeah, there's it's hard to rationalize with dogs. I found
they're dumb guys.
Yeah,
they're a little. They're
our
a little
dogs
dumb.
Now. We have the horse farm next door. And the dogs now get really confused and really barky when the horses come walking by.
Oh, I bet.
Like, if the dogs are out in the yard and just I hear them go nuts, I'm like, oh,
you know,
a horse must
a horse.
Have just walked
of
by.
Of course.
Yeah.
But that's
the
their
dogs
fucking
are just
job.
Losing their shit.
Their job is to keep giant animals
I just
away
don't
from
bark,
the house.
But I have the same feelings.
Yeah. Oh, what is that?
Do you get horses in your neighborhood, Matt?
When I do, it's really uncalled for. It's really not something that should happen.
It's very surprising.
Is it just a pair of neighbors that one's the butt and one's
but
the
like
one's
the cats,
front?
Like the cats, like the cats and the birds, they're all on the brick wall in between the yards, so they're just clip clopping, really tight roping it.
It's the no cones guy and his life partner just in a horse suit, just clip clopping down the road.
My name is Mary. So we're two dogs.
Oh yeah. So
Giz and Adora.
Yeah. And then of course Billy Bones.
Billy Bones, who was the newest pup until very recently.
No. Adora was Adora after Billy? Yes.
I think I think Billy Bones was second.
Yeah. Billy
or third,
Adora,
but yeah.
Adora was after Billy. Adora is still the newest pup besides.
Okay.
Billy
how old is Billy?
Billy is right at 2 years.
Okay. So Billy's a little older than Adora.
Yes.
So you couldn't even follow the rules of going in age order.
I didn't, or size order, because now we're coming up on Ted. So Theodore is our newest guy. Good old Ted Kaczynski.
I was going to say, who is Theodore named after? He's named after Ted Kaczynski?
Yeah, it's because we got Bill and Ted now. So that's, you know.
All right.
It's just as easy as anything. I think I told you guys I wanted to name him Seahawk after the He-Man character. But we live in such a football town. I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that. So no. I said,
a He-Man character named Seahawk?
Yeah.
He's from the She-Ra series. It's She-Ra's pirate best friend slash romantic.
Oh, he's from the She-Ra series. Best friend. Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
He's part of the Great Rebellion. Anyway.
Have you heard of the Great Rebellion?
I have.
He's part of that.
Oh, neat. Okay.
He's their naval power. Anyway, Ted is the new one, and he's sweet too. Very well behaved. He is Adora's half brother. Same mother, different father.
I see.
But Adora is still a super stinker. I am worried that we're going to have Adora part two by the time he's all grown up. But we'll see.
What do you mean by that?
Another shit stirrer. Because Adora still gives a lot of guff to Lady Elizabeth. And so, you know, yeah. I don't know. We got a behavioralist coming in soon. So. Hopefully we'll.
That is gonna be. When is the behavioralist coming? This is gonna be fascinating.
Within a couple of weeks, I would imagine, because we want to get it.
And can the behavioralist be on this show?
If you'd like, I'll give her a chip and I'll give her a chip and say, hey, I will. I'll say, hey, I got two comedy partners in Las Vegas who want nothing more than to hear your take on dog psychology. If you're down for a 10-minute Zoom chat that'll get broadcast out of Vegas.
And we're going to make fun of it.
To a couple thousand folks, let me know. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Well, yeah.
I'll tell you who else is a great dog behavioralist.
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you who else is a great dog behavioralist. And they neutered themselves. And that is the following sponsor.
From Goat Scoop in 2024. This is Las Vegas Missing Person Services. Where is Monroe, I wonder?
Update. No one has seen the elusive garbage man known as Monroe ever since he professed his undying love to one Sarah Lowe there in Henderson, Nevada. Authorities say they have no clues as to Monroe's whereabouts or to his pending record contract and where that may have gone. If you have any idea or knowledge about Monroe's whereabouts, please contact us at 1-955-THE-LOST. That's 1-9-5- Oh, hold on. Someone's at the door. Hello?
I'm Monroe. I heard you guys were looking for me.
Update. Monroe has been found. He's actually still just working as a garbage man. Tune in next week for Solved Mysteries.
Yeah, they just changed my route is all. I'm just a few blocks over now.
You just changed my fucking show to Solved Mysteries. Thanks a lot. I might as well be Robert One Single Item Flatly Laid Down.
Enter Hey Scoops at checkout.
He's retired, actually.
He's fucking dead. Oh, I was talking about Robert Stack. You were still talking about Monroe. Oh, yeah. Monroe, I hope
Monroe is fine.
Monroe retired?
Yeah, he's retired.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was just hanging out at Matt's house all the time.
I don't know if he kept up his singing career or not. I like to think he did.
Yep.
I miss him.
He's dropping panties somewhere.
Oh, man. So I just got back in from La Jolla.
Yeah.
By the way, New York City, People's Improv Theater, Sunday night, April 28th.
Great.
I have, as of right now, 11 tickets left.
Oh, cool.
11 tickets left. Go buy tickets if you're going to go. Buy them soon.
Over back at the old pit.
Yeah, let's sell out the pit. And if you know anybody who's interested in improv workshop, teaching an improv workshop there as well, Bull Matador Workshop. I did La Jolla, and first night I played there, my aunt-in-law, my Aunt Kath, Ruby Keeler's daughter,
okay,
came to see the show with a friend, and the comedy gods smiled on me.
Oh, good.
I had probably, especially it's like, that's like the fancy parlor. So
yeah.
I don't even get usually like a nice rolling laughter crowd kind of thing. Had the funniest show I've had.
Oh, good.
And the comedy gods were like, there, are you happy? You got the show off for your Aunt Kath?
Yeah.
Good. Cause there's a price to pay. And the next night I came out and it was like,
death.
It was like everyone in the room knew that one of them was going to be chosen to die at the conclusion of the show.
Yeah.
I didn't know which one was it. So they would smile and nod at the tricks. They weren't having a bad time.
Okay.
They just didn't decide to laugh out loud or clap at all.
Okay.
Did you feel Blur at Coachella?
I guess yes. I mean, I don't know that story, but yes is the answer. Did Blur have a tough time at Coachella?
That's the latest scuttlebutt. Yes, there are videos going around where Damon Albarn is just notably, just visibly dejected and angry at people not singing along with their hits. And just
are certain,
you know,
parts...
it's a sad thing because like they're not realizing the generational gap, and also like this is the lead of Gorillaz too, guys. Do you understand who this is?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't, and they don't care.
No, and that is depressing, right? Like, that they're just generally they're out of touch with the new generation or whatever,
right?
And they got to earn it all over again and don't know it.
Ugh.
I mean, that's always the hard part, right? Like,
yeah.
As soon as you are known, your crowd is different than when you come out,
right?
And so
exactly,
you know, the all or nothing days where you're earning it, it's different, you know.
What even is the shelf life of any kind of act at this point that gets that big?
I don't know. I mean, what? For Taylor Swift, it's pretty big.
I was gonna say there's different big levels because you can go big and it. And a lot of things get a lot more difficult.
Well, you say Blur, and I know Blur,
right?
Like that, I go yes. That's a I don't. None of the songs come right to my head, but
sure.
But I would say I bet if I started hearing them, I would know them.
Yeah, you
right.
would,
right?
Like Springsteen,
but right.
Mm-hmm. No songs come to my head immediately, but like I've heard of him.
Well, what's funny? Our friend Robert,
uh-huh.
Who works for one of the major casinos in publicity here in town. You know what I'm talking about, Robert?
No.
Sarah's friend used to be Mamma
oh,
Mia.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah, that Robert. Yeah.
Well, he went to the Springsteen concert. He's like, sure, yeah. let's do it. And then Sarah checked in with him, and he doesn't know his catalog at all.
Okay.
So he's like, I've known like two of the songs so far, and I'm like, what? I'm going through like all these things. I can name which album they're from. I'm going nuts at this concert.
You know every word to every song he's singing.
And he's just kind of like, oh, I don't know this song.
You know all the callbacks and everything.
And I was like, he just was like, yeah, like, it was fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would you? Yeah, I don't know.
I sat next to an old version of you at the Springsteen concert. There was a guy who's probably, he's probably about 70.
Okay.
Hey,
and he
you.
Was explaining to me.
Woo!
Yeah.
Me, you.
Matt Donnelly with a little bit of age ripening. Look out.
No, thank you.
He's probably about 70. And he was gleefully explaining to I think he had been to 20 some odd Springsteen concerts.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And so he was gleefully explaining to me all of the callbacks and like where they originated from and everything. I was getting
wow.
like a little mini history lesson.
Yeah, a little
at
Wikipedia
the same time.
Sitting next
yeah.
to you.
And I was loving it. It was great.
Good, good. I was doing the same to the people I was sitting next to. So yes.
And Sarah kept me like, shut the fuck up.
So I was like, I'm gonna go check in with Robert.
Yeah.
And left me for a little while. yeah, so I came out like Blur at Coachella.
Yeah.
Except I literally was like, self-consciously was like, I was like, what happened in here before I came in? What went wrong? And I got a little laugh for that. There were kid triplets at the show. I was like, I'll work with them at the first tricks.
Okay.
Everyone will think that's cool. 11-year-old triplets.
Okay.
Ooh,
all of them were 11?
That's a dangerous yeah. age.
That's, yeah. That's what made them triplets.
Yeah.
Dangerous age.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them 11? Off. Well, they fucking Irish triplets, Jacob. What do you think?
Yeah, that's it.
So I work with them, thinking that'll make the audience
two of them more 11.
And they're like, no.
They were not biting.
No. One of us is doomed. You don't understand. We are on a march toward death.
What?
Were they out too late? Triplets at the end of the show.
Were they out too late? Were they too tired?
There was all. I don't know what was. I could not put my hand on it. because I was, they were, again, they were nodding. They were just whatever. It was just if I was performing at like a library or like a.
I mean, I remember this from the show days when I was running, you know, shit. Same kind of thing happened with 50 Shades. Same kind of shit happened when I was at Second City. You'd have the bangerest show ever. And especially at Second City, because comedy, for whatever reason, we just know. And even like when we do sets at the fucking coffee shop and whatever, it'd be like, well, we're going to pay for that one. It's just the thing. You're like, well, that was great, but just get the bottom's going to fall the fuck out. Right. Isn't it crazy? Yeah, yeah. It's so crazy.
Every now and then we have crowds like that at Absinthe, and it's rare. They're few and far between, which is good. But every so often a crowd comes along, and the way I always describe it is it seems like this crowd is here against their will.
Right.
That's a
like this crowd bought tickets and they're here on purpose.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that.
As if they're like, happy birthday. Sit here. I gotta go.
I'm leaving.
But just enjoy. This is my birthday present to you.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Right.
That's what it felt like in the room.
Good.
How funny.
And it's so strange because sometimes there's just, honestly, it's magic, right? So sometimes I'm used to just doing certain moves over a laugh or a chuckle.
Oh, right.
You know, it doesn't have to be an uproarious laugh, but just a little like, ha,
right.
Good. Just to give you a little cover and rhythm.
There's a little move.
That's it.
Right? Yeah.
So it feels so, you feel so burned, but they're not laughing.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. And now my hand's in my pocket. Hello.
For reasons.
People. Moving on.
I'm just casually putting my hand in my pocket.
Pay no attention
my hand
to this.
Is a little chilly, so I'm going to put it in my pocket.
This is why you need spare fish, Matt. More spare fish for these moments.
Look, I have a four fish show for you, buddy, okay?
I will not rest until it's a 20 fish show, but I appreciate you're moving in the right direction.
I mean, I think a four fish show is great. I think you should just be prepared at any moment to make it a 20 fish show.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Plan for four and just have 20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It can happen. That's how I got two in my show, was I was packing for the Magic Castle, and I put one fish in my car. I was like, fuck it. I'm putting in two. I'm finding a way to get a second fish in my goddamn show. And that's how I got the second fish in the show, is I just shoved it in the car
and
brought it to the Magic Castle.
Do you take a fish out of your shoe yet?
I don't.
Please do, and tell everyone that you have a bad case of the trout.
Wait, is trout a foot? I
think he's going gout.
Yeah.
Oh, gout?
Gout. Yeah, or you can even call it your gout trout.
My gout trout.
Gout trout.
Gout trout, trout will get, it'll kill. It'll kill with the diabetics. Which is no shortage of in this country.
And it would be the second diabetic joke I make in the show, so there you go.
Oh, perfect. There you go.
I already make fun of being a possible type 2 diabetic.
It's a runner.
Dude, so. Trout gout. You got to have the trout gout now.
I got to have trout gout. It's true. I mean, I'm not against it. You've never been wrong about putting more fish into my show.
Yeah, say it's got bad. You got bad circulation. The thing's trying to flow up your bloodstream.
Yeah, I was out. I went and met Mike Mills.
Okay.
Oh yes.
Who produced our Foolers tour?
Okay.
Good friend of Vinny's and produces the Colin Mockery. No, not Colin. Yeah, Brad Sherwood and is it Brad Sherwood and Colin that tour together? I forget. There's an improv duo from the.
I think it is Brad Sherwood. And
that sounds familiar. Yeah,
they produced their tour amongst many tours as well. And I was talking to them about how they produce it. I was wearing overalls in it or whatever, and I was producing the tux. And Mike Mills was like, "Yeah, I like it. I could see why you're more kind of likable because you've kind of drifted away from the whole." Hillbilly thing, and this is more kind of just honest, and that's fine. And then he goes, and are you going to hold on to the mind noodler thing? And I was like, oh God, is this where this is going now? What the fuck? How much more must I undo? and I go, wait, what? And he goes, well, you know, the mind noodler part of it, but like, you know, I was like, I just thought it was just kind of a fun thing. And he's like, great, but you're not doing the blue collar thing anymore, so I don't know. And I was like, well, fuck, you're the producer, right? Yeah. And he goes, well, don't listen to me. I go, what do you mean don't listen to you? You're the one who produces fucking tours for
That's
people.
The gig.
You're the one who's to market people's tours.
Right.
So if you're saying this is against the marketing thing, this is something I have to think about.
Can you pivot to a more Italian theme and have pasta with fish in it, and that makes you the mind noodler?
There you go.
What's that octopus? The squid ink. What's that called?
Sure, yeah. Squid ink pasta. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do that.
Or no, was it another dish I'm thinking of. A puttanesca. That's what I'm thinking of. It's the strong fish.
Please.
Matt,
please,
this is a PG-rated show.
Please do a puttanesca magic trick.
That really is the origin of it. which I'm always like,
it's not pleasant.
Pungent pussy pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Of course.
They just didn't want to call it that. It's too much of a mouthful.
That's exactly the origins of it.
Yeah.
This is the night, the most beautiful night, and they call it pungent pussy pasta.
So I think
they call it pungent pussy pasta was one of my favorite. His name just flew out of my head.
So,
shit.
So if you go to New York, look for Matt the pungent pussy pasta magician. Playing a South Street Seaport.
You should straight up, Matt. No fucking fooling. You should, whatever it costs, like $40 or whatever, to get a ream of fucking business cards. Matt, the punching pussy pasta magician, and give those to your boy and be like, I'm switching up to my new. This is my new thing. You should.
I listened to what you said.
Note taken.
So because of you, I'm doing this.
You should make those, and you could hand those out to a bunch of people. You can hand out to everybody that you know and be like, I'm thinking of taking it in this direction. And just to fuck with people, man. You can give one to Penn. You can give one to Teller. You can hit up Reddy.
Donny Osmond, by the way, is the joke I was trying to make a minute ago. And they call it pungent pussy pasta.
Matt Donnelly, the pungent pussy pasta magician.
It's a lot to get on the Magic Castle.
And then underneath that says, al dente your brain. With my stinky pussy pasta.
What is it? Stinky pussy pasta.
This pasta tastes like shit. No, you took too big a bite.
But your fork too deep. Move up an inch. It tastes fine. Tastes completely fine.
The jokes don't get better, but they do get louder.
You just ain't eating it right.
Yep.
That's what I should have done to that audience that was dead. I would be like, all right. This doesn't come out all the time. This is rare.
This special treat just for you folks.
I forget the name of the song, but Penn told me Martin Mull had a song that basically was like, fuck it, we're out of here. Uh-huh. Like, he toured with his own comedy band.
Right.
Yeah.
And if the crowd sucked, he had a song that basically said, like, you suck, we're out of here.
Nah.
And they would just finish it up and play. But it's a funny song. I forget the name of it. Someone will write us on the internet about it. But it's a funny one. So, but then the next night was fine. And then the last night, it was a smaller crowd. And I literally go like, hey, I've had a good run here. It's the end of my run. It's been a great week in La Jolla. And they told me that they saved the best crowd for last. So I'm very excited that you guys are here.
Uh-huh.
And they were then very good to me because I complimented them at the top. And I was like, that's what I should do. I should find a way to just compliment each audience before I come out.
Yeah.
Well, just come out every time. Hey, everybody, no one here smells like my pungent pussy pasta, I'm a pleaser to say.
I'm just playing sound. I'll have that sound effect along with it. It's in my QLab stack.
Yeah, good. Smart.
Hey, everybody, anybody's grandparent or relative die recently? Anybody? Anybody got a close relative who recently passed away in the audience? Show of a hands. And I don't mean their hands, if you got the dead hands. I don't want to see them.
Now, my aunt passed away just recently.
I knew it. Fuck that stinky puss bitch.
Everybody.
Now, on with
fuck
the show.
Fuck that stinky puss bitch.
Everybody, fuck that stinky puss bitch.
What do you mean I got a negative TripAdvisor review?
I really don't understand it.
Not from that person, though. That person just enjoyed thinking about their aunt for a while.
They thought the stinky puss bitch stuff was fine. They hated the accent.
Yeah. I grabbed coffee with Piff recently. I know you did the same.
I did, yeah.
Recently in the audience, had someone in his audience who was just like talking the whole time and laughing out loud, like laughing along, not heckling,
right.
Just going like, oh, that was good. Oh, that's so true. That is what he's saying is right.
It's the worst.
Like just whatever. Ugh. And he literally just said, like, it was so distracting. And he was like, you have to stop talking. That's all I said. Because you just have to stop talking for the rest of the show. You just have to. And she listened.
Good.
And they gave him a fucking one-star Yelp review that said, the magic was cheap and they didn't even let me talk.
What?
They didn't even let me talk. That's a perfect review.
It is.
That is perfect. They didn't even let me talk at the show. And it's like, oh, right. Really? Really?
Those are my favorite one-star reviews where you read them and go, oh, this is not a one-star review.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
This person is an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we threw our drinks on the stage and they made us leave a half hour early.
And they weren't
one star.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I tossed a full bottle of Dom Perignon at his head and he had the audacity to kick us out of the theater.
Oh.
Fuck them.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh.
All right, Jacob.
Sorry, I'm just looking at Piff reviews now. I'm trying to find it. Oh, I'll find it later. Let's do a little scoop mail.
Message for you, sir.
Well, we got a scoop mail here from TK421 Scoop, please. Hello, Matt, Paul, and Jacob. I am quite behind on episodes, but wanted to share a fun little adventure in road rage while it's still fresh in my head from today's commute home.
Great.
It all started at an intersection. Awaiting the left turn arrow to turn green, I'm second in line behind a large SUV. The light turns. It's go time. The SUV does not move, and the driver's head is down. I provide my courtesy 1, 2, 3 count in my head before honking twice to get the driver's attention. The guy's head snaps up. He looks in the rearview mirror at me, holds up his phone, gesturing as if with a "what the fuck are you honking at me for? I was on my phone" gesture.
What a dick.
I gesture at the changed light and the road ahead of us, onto which myself and the people behind us would like very much to turn.
Yeah.
As we turn left onto the 3-lane road, the guy ends up in the middle lane and I stay left. He is a bit ahead of me, and I can see he then proceeds to roll his window down while maintaining speed, wanting me to catch up to him. I can hear him thinking, yeah, I'm going to roll my window down and tell that bitch what for. That'll show her.
Yeah.
At this point, I am laughing at the entire situation. The phone gesture, now the window rolled down so he can yell at me. I don't have time for this bullshit. I have groceries, and I just want to get home.
Yes.
So as I am catching up to him on the left and lay on the gas to pass him, still laughing, I give him a heartfelt thumbs down to let him know I am not interested in conversing with him. The thumbs down is effective.
It's just good.
Yeah.
It's
I guess he did not get the message, however, because a mile or so down the road, I'm still in the far left lane, he comes swooping over 2 lanes to plant himself in front of me.
When I go to move over a lane,
he does the same, and again when I move over to the far right.
So you forgot that when we get in our cars, we get into our robots.
And that's
since he has a giant robot cock, he has to wave his giant robot cock around.
Yes. Still laughing, I clap my hand several times in a congratulatory manner to let him know how impressed I am at his ability to act like an angry toddler while driving 3,500 tons of metal at 45 miles an hour in rush hour traffic. Boy, he sure showed me my place.
Love your tactic so far.
Yep, this is great. I reassure him that we can stay in touch if he needs to talk later by making sure he can see me pull out my phone and take several photos of the back of his car and license plate. I think he felt better after that, you know? Knowing that I had a way to contact him just in case really put him at ease. I say this because once I moved back over into the far left lane, he went ahead and stayed in the far right lane and continued on his merry little way. I'm home safe now. Nobody followed me. No accidents. And I gave my first thumbs down on the road today. Anyway, that's all. See you fuckers in May. Until then, stay safe out there. That's TK421 Scoop, please.
Thank you, TK412.
Yeah. Sorry you had to put up with that bullshit.
Good job. Good handling of the road rage.
Well played.
It is strange, man. People will double and triple down their dickheadedness.
Yes.
And the only thing that hovers in the back of my mind is just I hate to think about people being armed.
That's exactly where my brain went. I was just like, thank God they didn't have a gun. Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, also, it would have been a different thing if they were trying to pass during a deposition.
But
you are less likely to get shot for thumbs than shot for middle fingers.
That's true.
At least that part.
Nobody knows what to do with the thumbs down.
Yeah.
The thumbs down and laughing at somebody.
Yeah.
It is disarming
and weird, yeah.
But yeah, I'm always... And also, like, from the other person's point of view, there's no way I would do the whole thing, like swoop in front of someone, cut them off, you know, try to kind of hold them up. Because, like, I'm just worried that that person has a gun.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody,
right. Even if I'm furious at that person, like, they could have a gun.
It's hard. I as a recovering road rager person, it's you just, if you just hit the brakes and get them out of your life.
That's it.
You know, just it's, yep. It's,
it's better the analogy, let them
I've,
go.
And I've done this with people who have, like I just talked about my bad show in front of that silent audience, right?
Uh-huh.
The pep talk I find myself giving other magicians and other comedians is, you know, like artists tend to hate sports.
Yeah.
Like in sports, sometimes you lose.
Oh, yeah.
You just lose, right? The people who win the Super Bowl, the people who win the NBA championship, yep. The World Series, they have losses on their records.
I watched the New Orleans-LA game last night.
Yeah.
New Orleans just lost.
Just lost.
That's it.
Right? And so, like, you're not bad at what you do. You're not terrible. You shouldn't stop doing what you're doing forever. Just that you had a moment where you lost.
Yeah.
Right? And so, as a driver, you know, you can run into assholes, and that person could be a fucking, be totally in the wrong.
Yeah.
They might be totally wrong, and they might be wreaking havoc on the street. The bottom line is to take care of yourself first, get yourself out of that fucking situation, and take the L.
Yeah. I remember one time I had one of my Mustangs. So I was in a fast car. This is one thing I really miss about having the Mustang.
Yeah.
Is my mom was in the car with me. And there was getting onto the freeway, same type of thing. It was the metered lights. So it's like the light turns green, a car goes, and they enter the freeway like that so that you kind of keep the freeway congestion down at certain times of day. And so same type of deal. We're sitting there in line waiting to get onto the freeway. The guy in front of me, his light turns green. He doesn't go. I give him, you know, the little beep, and he flips me the bird. Takes off.
Furious. The indignity of being alerted to a light turning green.
And we all
How
know.
How fucking dare you,
we
Jacob?
We all know the horn beep. We all know
right,
the
right.
beep.
The toot toot.
That's it.
There's
that's
a
like,
bit,
I didn't lean on it.
There's a it's beep. The, it's just that. Huh?
That's it. You know, it's just that, like, hey, heads up.
Yeah.
That's it. And, like, I'm not mad at you. I'm not even, you know, thinking poorly of you.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, look up. It's time to go. And so then he starts doing the thing. He starts like when he went slow up the ramp. My light turned green. I start going up the ramp, and then I realize what he's doing, and then he's like getting over on me and everything. And my mom was concerned.
Yeah,
yo, she's not happy in this situation. Yeah. And this guy's going along in a pickup truck, and like who knows? And I was like, oh, I can take care of this. I'm much faster than this guy. And I just, you know, put it into sport mode, put it into manual,
yeah.
and just gun it and leave him behind.
Right.
I was like, this is nice. Because, like, if I slow down, he can also slow down.
Yeah, my Corolla doesn't have that option. I can't beepity boop boop.
You don't have the turbo.
As a former Corolla owner, Matt, I would like to advise you, maybe you are not aware, there is a secret turbo function in that vehicle.
Where is it?
All you have to do is turn off the air conditioning. I no lie did that all the time with my old 92
to get on
the freeway. It was always
that
like
was a,
air conditioning off
of my Honda Boom. As well.
Yeah,
I see that meme. It's the person reaching down to turn off the air conditioner, and it's the thing that pops up is the Star Trek thing. It's, you know, divert life support power to the thrusters.
Exactly. It's exactly right, and it's true.
So
in fact,
go,
I made a deal with that 92 Corolla, as you well remember, that I would not even run the air conditioning in Las Vegas if it would continue to drive, and it did. It kept driving for like 5 years.
Let's see. We got an email here from Paul's brother.
All right. Hey, Paul's bro.
Look out.
Howdy, gents. Matt and Jacob, it was great catching up with you both at Founders Day for the Eclipse. What a show. I was listening to one of your latest episodes after the event, specifically the one about Matt's son's loose tooth fiasco. And I wish I had known about this while we were visiting, because we had literally just finished our own loose tooth fiasco that morning.
Yep.
For a solid week before Founders Day, my youngest daughter's left front eye tooth had been loose. We wiggled it. We had teachers attempt to pull it out, tried to give her food that she would bite into to make it pop out, but nothing we did could get her over the hump to remove it. Did you try Laffy Taffy?
Oh.
I hear that works really well. I've also seen Laffy Taffy in person pull out, I think, at least three or four people's fillings. Just around. Yeah.
God,
that shit is dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh.
But nothing we did to get nothing we did to get her over the hump to remove it. Of course, over the course of the week, it got to the point where she could twist it all the way around with her tongue.
Yeah.
So her smile had a backwards tooth in it.
Weird.
And you still couldn't get it out at that point? That's she was also fond of pushing the tooth out and closing her lips around it. So now she looked like Emma Thompson's Nanny McPhee character. She thought this was hysterical.
She's right.
Paul's brother, I'm here to tell you, she was correct.
Yeah,
she's
right.
She's just...
That's little one.
Funny.
She's got natural comedic chops.
We're gonna have her on the show.
She's very funny. Well,
she's gonna be the next kid that comes on our show and calls her dad a beta cuck.
I can't promise any beta cucking, but she's got the chops.
Now, during the week, it became a thing around her school too, as multiple teachers, including the principal, came up to us to ask if her dancing tooth had fallen out yet.
Dancing tooth was so
gross and really frustrating.
See that tooth. Watch it gleam.
It is the dancing tooth. Particularly on the night she refused to go to sleep because she was scared that she would lose it and swallow it while she was sleeping. The night before Founders Day, I was putting her to bed, and she came to give me a good night smooch. How sweet, I thought, until I felt her nasty loose tooth on my lips. She had Nanny McFeed me during our goodnight kiss.
She's the worst.
Oh, that's
She's
hilarious.
A scoundrel.
My skin just crawled. Fast forward to the next morning, and what do you know? The tooth somehow fell out while she was sleeping. Needless to say, there was much rejoicing, and we were all very happy to kiss that tooth goodbye. Looking forward to seeing you all and all the scoops at Scoop Fest. That's Paul's brother.
Hilarious.
Thank you, Paul's bro. Oh, man. Yeah, I did wish we got to share that story, but I'm glad you shared it on air here, too. That's her messing with you by kissing you with the tooth.
Oh, that's nasty.
Hysterical.
That's nasty that's and so hysterical. I like that a lot.
Do you think what's his name? Who was her husband back in the day? Mr. Hamlet? Mr. Frankenstein? Mr. Hercule Poirot?
What?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Emma Thompson's husband.
Okay.
Who divorced her. What's his fucking name?
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. Do you think he secretly has a Nanny McPhee kink?
Yes.
Secretly?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, can you put this...
Like, did she dress up like that for him? Like the way Mike Myers' whole, his whole Austin Powers routine was silly games he was playing with his wife during sexy time, right? So that's where that all came from. I bet Nanny McPhee is Kenneth Branagh's secret.
There's no way that Kenneth Branagh has less kinks than Mike Myers.
You're absolutely right. That guy's a freak of the week. With that mustache, get out of here.
It's time to do a little jock versus nerd.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm on Nanny McPhee, your two bitches.
Oh, is it an obelisk?
It's an obelisk.
You got to pay the Nanny McPhee.
Hunt for balls.
Oh. This is an obelisk jock versus nerd coming to us from Scoop Jesus.
I love it.
Let's see. Scoop Jesus is a resend, and Scoop Jesus said they went through and updated it because they sent it originally with the original obelisk rules, and they went back in, updated it with the new obelisk rules, and have resent it.
That's all right. Awesome. Thank you, Scoop Jesus. We appreciate
that. Let's see. The first category we have here is the $200 question, foreign languages. So Matt's going to be up first. I'll give you a quick rundown of the rules. Matt has the option to double down. If not, then Jacob can super steal. Paul can super steal. And if neither of us want to do that, Matt will guess Matt will try to answer the question. Okay. So Matt, foreign languages, would you like to double down?
I will not.
Paul, you're going to steal? I'm not stealing.
Nope.
Let's see. Reveal the question. In the French alphabet, what letter comes after A? A, B, C, or D?
B.
Oh, interesting. B. It is B.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
we have the same alphabet.
I should have stolen that one.
Yeah, that's.
I remember
people,
that from French classes.
That meme up about. Do you think we should have Arabic numerals taught in school?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, what? Arab's teaching us numerals? No, hell no.
Always solid.
Fucking stupid.
Let's see. Matt, the $400 question for you.
There are many years where I would have fallen for that. Not that I would have objected to it, but I would have been like, wait, what?
Right.
And I guess so.
You have a little bit of an excuse because you were in the center of the bullshit with, I don't think there's any more laser-like focused anti-Muslim area than where you were when New York happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, fair. Matt, the category for your second, for your $400 question is audio technology. Would you like to double down?
No.
Interesting. Paul, would you like to steal?
No, sir. That is your thing.
You're not going to steal? I guess I'll steal.
Oh, boy.
The SM58 is a dynamic unidirectional wired microphone from what audio technology company? A, Blue. B, Sennheiser. C, Shure. D, Rode. Or Rodies. People pronounce that differently. Do you guys know this one?
I think it's C.
C is Shure. You think it's C?
I do.
Paul, do you know this one?
I think it's either B or C because of the S.
It is C. It's the Shure SM58.
Okay. And this was our original microphones. Didn't we record on those at your
we
house?
Used a we didn't use the SM58s. Our Go kit, our on the road kit has Sennheiser's version of the SM58.
Oh yeah, but that old fashioned looking microphone.
Oh no, oh those are Shure's. Those are Super 55s though.
Oh okay.
Mm. Yeah, that's a different mic.
When we started at your house, we were recording on those.
Yeah, because I just had some Super 55 Shure microphones laying around.
It made me feel like an old fashioned.
I still have those.
Guy. They have a very diner aesthetic.
Yeah, those get pulled out every now and then. Let's see. The $600 question, it's over me now. Oh, I just stole Matt's points, too. I've got 600 points now.
Oh, you did. So Super Steel is... Okay, got it.
Super Steel is that. So we all have our double downs. Oh, it looks like some of the rules didn't transfer over. So we don't have the steals or the 50-50, because usually we have those as well.
Okay. All right.
But I don't know. Mixology is the $600 question. I'm not going to double down. Either of you fellas want to steal?
I do.
Matt's going to steal.
Bartender.
According to ICS episode 1074, Bespoke Retro Nachos, what was the minimum at Glitter Gulch when they which they brought you at the same time? No minimum, one drink, two drinks, or three drinks.
It was a two-drink minimum when they brought them at you at the same
time. They just bring
you
two plastic cups of beer. It is a two-drink minimum.
Amazing.
And it would be like, it was just two, tap beers completely, like, they would fill up the cups too much.
Yeah,
they would fill them all the way up to the brim.
Yeah, like if you got bourbon and ginger or something like that.
Right,
it was a full cup.
Yes,
so you got two full doubles.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a mess.
God damn,
missed that place.
Matt just stole all those points back. He's up to 1,200. Paul and I both have zero. Matt, political discourse.
Perfect.
Doubling down.
Nope.
Paul stealing.
No, thank you.
Let's see. Matt, when commenting on someone's political rant on Facebook, a great response is, it's blank, not your. Fill in the blank.
It's your.
A, the, B, yar, C, your, Y-O-U-R, or Y-O-R-E, or D, your, Y-O-U-R.
Wait, okay, so then what's the, I can't see from there.
It's blank, not your, as in Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
Okay, then it's D, Y-O-U-R.
Okay, it is D. Well done.
Nice.
Let's see, Matt, geometry.
I haven't done that in a while. I just leave them alone now. Now I just hide everyone or block people.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like going full bubble mode.
I just, I only interact with Scoops on social media.
Right.
That's
helpful.
And that's why my social media experience is lovely.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Geometry, Matt, you doubling down?
Yeah, let's do it.
Doubling down. What two-dimensional shape is a slightly elongated circle, like an egg, if it were three-dimensional? A, oval. B, square. C, hexagon. D, dodecahedron.
That'd be A, oval.
No, I'm sorry. It's a dodecahedron. It's the longest of the words.
Oof.
It is.
It looks like an oof.
It's an oof. Matt is running away with the game. He's got 4,000 points.
Oof
is biology is the next question. Paul, you stealing?
I ain't stealing shit.
Paul ain't stealing. What four-letter word is used to describe children after the age of 12? Hint, it doesn't start with a C. A, cunt. B, shit. C, teen. D, tyke.
It would be teen.
Ah, teen. Oh, there you go. Yeah, it is a teen.
That was biology?
That was.
Okay.
Memory. Paul, you want to steal?
Nope.
Let's see. What were the answers to the last six questions in order? Jesus. Okay. A, sure, B, oval, your teen to drink. B, is B, sure, to drink, your oval teen. C, to drink, B, sure, oval, your teen. D, something, something, I don't know.
B.
B, is B, sure, to drink. Yeah, okay. It is B.
All right.
Very
$1,600 question.
So Jacob, how do you get that code the board in there? Again?
I don't, because the steals, or I guess you could miss one.
Okay.
I think that's the only way. Because we're missing two of the rules
in this. Yeah.
I think because when it got updated.
It's a super steal and a steal.
Yeah. We had a steal and we also have a 50-50 usually. Yeah. And then there are the double downs. And, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. The $1,600 question is a trick question. Paul, would you like to steal the trick question?
No, thank you. No.
All right, Matt. The Mind Noodler is renowned for his opening and recurring trick in which he produces what animal from his magical tackle box? Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen the act. A dove, a rabbit, African spotted pygmy elephant, or D, a very expensive fish?
From Russia.
The gout D, trout.
A very expensive fish.
It is D. Well done, Matt. Well done.
The spoiler gout trout. Alert.
Yep. Let's see. $2,500 question. Not a trick question. Paul, you want to steal it?
Mm-mm.
All right. What three-letter word used in Wayne's World is used after making a statement to instantly change the meaning? Example, the next question is easy. A, not. B, party. C, shall write. D, as if.
Not.
A, not.
A, not.
Is correct.
A, not in your butthole.
$3,000 question. It's easy points. Paul, you want to steal it?
Yeah, I'll steal it.
All right. This question is written by ChatGPT. In the world of tennis, what term is commonly used to describe a situation where a player easily wins a point due to their opponent's mistake, often considered as a missed opportunity for the opponent? A mistake, an unforced error, an oopsie, or a fault?
Ooh, fuck. Well, I'm torn between unforced error and fault.
Okay.
I think in tennis, it's 50-50
on that.
Yeah.
You want fault? You want D?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm sorry, it's B. It's an unforced error.
Wah, wah.
A fault is like going over the line or hitting the net or something like that on the serve, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Let's see. So Paul got that wrong. What happens? Oh, it's just Matt's turn again. Masters of the Universe, oh, but Matt.
Paul would have taken all of my points if he had got that
I think that's
right.
What he was trying to do.
Oh, geez, and now it's Masters of the Universe. Oh, no, yeah. Paul. Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, how it goes.
Who won the Masters in 2024?
Aha, see? Trick questions here.
A, Jon Rahm. B, Ludwig Åberg. C, Scottie Scheffler. D, Tiger Woods.
No, it's not Tiger.
Okay.
I think it was Scheffler.
So show me Scheffler. It was Scheffler.
She Scheffler.
And the last question, Bruce Springsteen, Matt.
Oh, boy.
What is Bruce Springsteen's nickname? The apprentice, the supervisor, the manager, or the boss?
The supervisor.
That'd be great.
I mean, that's a good for a Springsteen cover band.
Seeger, that's Little Stevens, right? Isn't that Little Stevens' nickname?
Yeah.
I think Little Stevens is the district manager.
It is the boss. And that is the game,
that
Matt.
Just me. Yep. It's just me.
Matt
ran away with it.
With 19,700 points.
That's what you want to do.
Paul and Jacob are tied at zero.
You can see why we added the other rules to the game.
Yeah.
That's that still one. Good. Still good. Good questions. I like the
fine questions.
Fine questions. No, it was
thank
a good just burn
Jesus.
Through.
Yeah.
We needed some steals in there to make a little more action.
Yeah, I think with the obelisk ones, if you made an obelisk before the new rules went into effect.
Start from scratch.
I think you just start from scratch now.
Yeah.
We've learned a lesson.
Yeah.
But that's from Scoop Jesus. Thank you so much, Scoop Jesus. If you want to send us an obelisk, which do, go send hayscoops.com, send us an obelisk.
We added rules to make it better.
And I think it worked.
And we haven't had enough trial to test them out again. So actually, yeah, let's do a direct caller. Please go fill out some new obelisks. It's a game we like to play with the new rules, with the new steals. Let's do it.
And then you can do that over at hayscoops.com. Head on over.
I want to thank Pench Life for creating this podcast.
Thanks, Ben.
And I want to thank the following people who support us over on patreon.com. These people all know that the boss's nickname is secretly the janitor. Peter Sanzone, Peter McDougal, Peter Hines, Peter Burford, Peter Bogey, Peter Romano, Papcak Scoop, Peanut Butter Scoop, P.E. Scoop, Polygon Scoop, Paula, Paul's brother, Paul Luxton, Paul Levesque, Paul Chamberlain, Patrick Webb, and One Fell Scoop.
All of these following people love to dress up like Nanny McPhee before they do the nasty. Motor City Schmitty, Monica Day, Monadnock Scoop, Mohan Nair, Mitzula, Miriam Roberts, Mike Wenz, Mike Six, Mike Helm, Mike Federley, Michelle Yazer, Michael Shaw, Michael Martin, Michael Drayton, Michael Calder, and Michael.
The following people all took gravity bong hits and would explain how much David Lynch's stuff makes total sense to them. That'd be Oaky Scoop, Nikki Benoit, Nicole Levin, Nicole Busenbeck, Nick Farr, Nicholas Petty, Neil Fleisch, Neil Appolitan, Neck Pubes, Nathan's Meat Tube Sandwich, Scoop, Nathan Hooten, Nathan Clay, and Mrs. Johnny Australia, plus Mr. Head Scoop.
Mm. The following people really impressed their aunt at their last magic show. Melty Goop Scoop, Melissa Archiga, Malia, ooh, McTits, Max the Ginger Scoop, Matt McKenzie, Matt Glowacki, Matt I Want a Scoop Baby Daughtery, Matt Scoop O'Fail, Matcha Ice Cream Sunday, Matt G, Mary Norbury Glazer, Mark Wilson, Mark Miller, and Mark Gates.
And the following scoops are all mad that they went to that show that wouldn't let them talk. That's Mark Cohen, Mark Elwood Hickory, Mark Sadowski, Marble Tulip Scoopy Tree, Maple Raisin Scoop, Mama Ninja Scoop, Macho Scoop Randy Sprinkles, Luke Mellon, Lindsay Bechera, Linda Brandmere, Lil Red, Leon Kassab again, Leon Cox, Lee Forrest, Lori Elsroth, Latter-day Scoop, Larry Goodale, Lance Amon, Lad Culbertson, L.A.J., Kayla Lesenberry, Kevin Davis, Kurt Hendrickson, Kurt Egner, KT Apple Scoop, Kristen Claddock, Colin Tony, Kiwi Fruit Scoop, Kiss Me Where It Smells Funny, and King Scoop. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much. Hey, if you want to be thanked on air, if you just love our Scoop community and want to support it and make sure that it keeps going for another decade, we could sure use your support right now over at PreachingFun.com.
And if you're doing a show at Honey Salt this week, head on over to fartsinabag.biz.
Honey?
Fartsinabag.biz.
That's fartsinabag.biz. That along with preachingfun.com, it does take you over to our Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help keep this show on the air. Full stop. You will help keep this show on the air.
That's it. Any of our Cincinnati scoops out there, I'm playing Improv Cincinnati.
Nice.
And Burkus Brewing in Ludlow, Kentucky, which is nearby. That's happening May the 17th, 18th, 19th.
Nice.
Check that out.
You going to get a little Cincinnati chili while you're out there?
I'm actually going out there to join Hojack for the keg tapping.
Oh, nice.
That's
good.
That's why I booked those shows, so I could join Hojack for a little bourbon tour.
Oh, that'll be great.
Tapping. So I'll be out there for that. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe out there. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
It's not too late to buy tickets to Scoop Fest.
It's not.
If you show up, we don't guarantee your robe size. That's it. Just look at all the other goodies we throw in the bag, and access to everything that comes with Scoop Fest.
That's right.
Come on, Scoop Fest. Get dressed,
Billy.
Get that FOMO.
we're preaching fun.
See ya.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.